The arms trade treaty is legally binding. It's designed to protect civilians, and it links human rights law with international humanitarian law. The treaty is about global arms markets of tens of thousands of different types of articles. It covers trade in battle tanks, armored combat vehicles, large caliber artillery systems, combat aircraft, attack helicopters, warships, missiles and missile launchers, and small arms and light weapons. It was adopted by the United Nations in April, but a ceremony at the UN marked the beginning of countries signing the treaty. The arms trade treaty was the brainchild of a small group, the British aid organization Oxfam, Amnesty International, Desmond Tutu, and other Nobel laureates back in 1993. At first, the idea of an international arms trade treaty was laughed at, but eventually it picked up steam through the work of the Control Arms Coalition. 10 years later, the UN body and the General Assembly overwhelmingly approved the treaty. Iran, Syria, and North Korea voted against the treaty. India, Russia, and China abstained. So far, more than 65 nations have signed the treaty, and the U.S. signaled its endorsement with a statement by Secretary of State John Kerry, who said the U.S. plans to sign. Since the U.S. is the largest arms trader in the world, the signature carries much weight. Had the U.S. not shown willingness to sign, other countries would say, why should we? Anna McDonald, co-chair of Control Arms Coalition with Oxfam, says once a global norm is created, countries don't like to deviate from that.
It creates a standard which becomes politically, creates a political pressure on states not to violate that. And we've seen that in many treaties where even when countries do not become signatories of that particular treaty, they do their best to adhere to its obligations because they don't want to be seen to be violating international law. That's the really important political power of having a global treaty. And that's why we've pushed so strongly for it to be a strong treaty and a robust treaty, because getting that global standard as high as possible is the most crucial thing, because that's what's going to change the arms trade and that's what's going to affect the behaviour of both signatories and non-signatories.
But McDonald says in situations like Syria, where more than 80,000 people have died, the arms trade treaty can't bring them back.
But it can do something to prevent similar such tragedies in the future by its very clear criteria that arms must not be transferred as an absolute prohibition where there is knowledge of certain war crimes, and a very clear obligation on states to assess the risk of human rights and humanitarian law violations. And with regard to the EU arms embargo, those states that have indicated a desire to lift that embargo are already bound by the EU common position to make risk assessments on the risk of diversion of human rights violations and humanitarian law violations. So they would be required to do that first before they authorized any arms transfer.
And what about large suppliers of arms like China and Russia who voted against the treaty? Amnesty International's arms control chief Brian Wood says China is now looking positively at this treaty.
If the United States signs soon, China is the next door opener because Russia is far behind. Russia's more skeptical. We need India as well, because it was a disappointment on the 2nd of April to see India not voting yes and abstaining, because India is the largest arms, conventional arms importer alongside Saudi Arabia in the developing countries.
Wood says the signing of the arms trade treaty is a process. He says they need to have a critical mass of nations signing on, because once they sign, they begin to apply the rules. 50 countries need to ratify the treaty, then it comes into force. The process is expected to take 2 years. The Control Arms Coalition says it will continue its work to get as many ratifications as possible. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., ratification of the arms trade treaty faces an uphill battle in the Senate because of the influence of the NRA. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.